Marianne's Tan Room has violet and green-based spray tan solutions to suit all skin tones. Marianne can tailor the tan to suit anyone, male or female. All tans set in 2 to 3 hours and can last from 7 to 10 days. Pre-tan and post-tan care given to all clients to get the most out of your spray tan. Located in Mulgrave, southeast Melbourne, follow on socials or contact 0421 552 489. And if you tell Marianne that the post-credit show sent you, your first tan is only $30. Welcome to your new favorite pop culture podcast. It's the post-credit show. I'm your host, Lush, and over here I've got... Well, he was just sucking his gut in, so I don't know. Hey, Lucky.
Oh, Grimace over here.
Grimace. Whatever happened to Grimace and Ronald McDonald and all of the McNugget kids? Like, I've got these Robert Frost guys back here from the adult Happy Meals, but, like, whatever happened to all of those characters?
Corporate America, mate. They ruined it.
They were so funny.
They ruined the precious.
Hold on. We've got one for that.
They stole it from us. They stole the precious.
They certainly did. How much fun, though, was McDonald's going back in the day when you had all the characters had their little statues?
Back when a Happy Meal cost $2.95.
Yeah, back when the
Now you can't even buy a bloody fry for $2.95.
No, I went and asked for a 30-cent cone the other day and they charged me 60 cents.
Well, did you ask them to just give you half a cone?
But it's ridiculous. Cheeseburgers used to be $2. On Uber Eats, a friggin' cheeseburger is $5.20.
And here we are showing our age. Ladies and gentlemen, we are both very, very old. I remember when petrol was 40 cents a litre. Anyway.
Jesus Christ. Wow.
Hey, we're going to have a bit of a fun little chat tonight because last week we were talking about Leonardo DiCaprio turning down a role in Baywatch, the series.
Yes, correct.
I'm not too sure if I would have been okay with it. I mean, back then he was kind of cute. Maybe seeing him with his shirt off might have been okay.
Well, mid-90s was like 20-year-old Leo.
You know what's so funny, though, is that he's still dating people the same age as what he was back then.
Leo, you dog.
You dirty boy.
But we're big Leonardo DiCaprio fans.
We certainly are.
We thought we would take that thread and go down a rabbit hole and do an episode on actors who turned down iconic roles.
Yeah, a lot of regret here coming. I can feel it.
But then there's also some where it's like, oh yeah, good.
There are some that you're gonna look back and go, you know what? They did the right thing, but there's others here that you, oh my God. I reckon there's a few of these blokes that would still be sitting in bed at night going, why the hell did
what
I do
have I
this?
Done?
What have I done? I'm gonna give you one right now, and this for me is the biggest. This has to be the biggest. So Lord of the Rings, right?
Yes.
Early 2000s, start of creation and whatnot. They spent 3 years over in New Zealand making the thing.
They literally turned New Zealand into
Middle Earth. Yeah. How good is it though? They've still kept it all intact.
It's fantastic.
I love that.
It's a great tourist destination.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, the role of Gandalf the Grey.
Yep.
Now they wanted a prominent actor for this particular role. They needed a big name because the surrounding cast wasn't going to be as strong as we ended up seeing with Viggo Mortensen, who he played Aragorn, obviously. Not well known at this stage. You had the, who played, what was his name? Legolas. What was his name?
Oh, yeah, Orlando Bloom.
Orlando Bloom. That was his first movie. He was fresh out of drama school at like 21 years of age. So they really wanted a big name.
Yep.
And they went after Sean Connery.
Oh, I heard that. And he was supposed to play Gandalf instead of Sir Ian McKellen, wasn't
it? Correct. So, but get this. This is where the regret comes from. Sean Connery was offered the role on a silver platter. Mate, rock up, film your scenes, go back to Scotland. He didn't have to stay there. He could come and go, basically, as he pleased. His salary would have been $10 million per film.
Oh, my God.
Which is a total of, obviously, $30 million. But he would have received 15% of the box office earnings. $450 million would have been in his back pocket if he signed onto that film.
That is some wild numbers.
That is insane. And obviously, Ian McKellen ended up getting the role. He was juggling X-Men at the same time as well.
That's right, he was.
So, mate, for me, if that's not the biggest one, I don't know. But
that's wild.
How would you feel?
That's insane.
Yeah, man. So Ian McKellen, he was the one that won out in the end, and he did an amazing role.
Absolutely.
But
that's an iconic role. And to be really honest with you, as great as Sean Connery would have been, it just wouldn't have been the same.
I feel that Sean's accent
would have gotten in the way.
Yep.
Yep.
Because he did try playing other roles throughout his career, and he did an amazing job. But
he was an icon. He was an absolute icon.
Did you ever see The Hunt for Red October when he played a Russian?
I did, yeah.
So you've got this Russian Scotsman, basically. So anyway, it worked out in the end. Ian McKellen was simply
owned the role.
Outstanding.
Owned the role.
But we could have had a different Lord of the Rings, because I've got another one for you.
Oh, God.
That's going to follow suit. Same, similar situation. They wanted another big name actor. And there was no bigger actor in the 90s than our boy Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
He was offered the role to play Aragorn.
Yeah, wow.
And he said no. Thankfully, though, I can't see anybody else doing it as well as Viggo did.
Yeah.
He is Aragorn for me. But yeah, could have been a completely different movie then, my friend.
That's wild. I think that movie was also the start of the Sean Bean dies in everything he does kind of thing. Like I remember a meme going around for a while ago. It's like, we must save Sean Beans because hundreds of Sean Beans have died in every movie ever released. I'm like, it's true.
Well, some of them from the 90s. He died in Ronan. He famously died in that. He died in GoldenEye, which was James Bond.
And then he obviously died in Game of Thrones.
He died in The Island.
Yeah.
He died in everything.
Sean Beans.
He didn't die in Pixels.
No, he didn't.
So he survived Pixels.
Although it would have been so meta for him to die in that.
They should have, like when Pac-Man was eating, remember when Pac-Man was learning? They should have got a Pac-Man to eat him or something.
I wonder if that's like one of the first movies he's done that he hasn't died
in. We'll have to find this there. That could be an episode, right?
Do you know what? You know what? Sean Bean dies well.
Yeah, he certainly does.
He's done it enough. He's a pro.
I'm going to pass the baton back to you, my friend. So what have you, what's your first one off the
I want to go back to the 1980s.
Okay, yes.
One of the most iconic movies.
Yeah.
One of my personal favorite movies as a child, and a movie that I don't think gets enough credit.
Yeah, what do you got there?
Harry and the Hendersons.
Okay, never heard of it.
the movie about Bigfoot. Featuring John Lithgow?
No.
Oh, my God. You need to watch Harry and the Hendersons. It was such a great movie.
Okay. So tell me.
So it's like, so they're driving their car through the forest and they hit a wild animal and they stop and they're like, what the hell is that? And they get out of the car and they realize that they've hit Bigfoot.
Well, that's not very good.
And then they strap Bigfoot onto the top of their car because they're like, what do? We can't just leave it here. So they strap him onto the top of the car, drive him back to suburbia. And then all of a sudden one night, Bigfoot wakes up attached to the back of their car and starts going on this weird like comedic rampage through suburbia, and it's so funny.
So it's a comedy.
It's such a great movie. John Lithgow turned down the role of the Joker in Batman.
No, he didn't.
He did.
Which Batman?
Jack Nicholson Batman.
No.
Now, I'm going to say this. I love John Lithgow. John Lithgow, I think you are an absolute icon of cinema and television.
Yeah, I agree.
But thank you for doing that, because you gave us the greatest Joker ever portrayed in movies.
Ooh.
I'm a big fan of Heath Ledger, but even Heath Ledger based a lot of the Joker that he portrayed on Jack Nicholson's Joker.
He did. The laugh for me was, that's where the similarities were there.
Like, it was fantastic. Everything, like that whole scene where he wipes his face like this with the handkerchief and the skin-colored paint comes off. Everything about the way Jack Nicholson played that Joker was perfection.
I love him, but Heath is mine, but Heath, I've got him tattooed on me, so there's a reason for that.
What have you got?
I'm carrying on now to Batman as well, but I'm going to be looking at The Dark Knight here.
Oh, yep.
So, our boy Aaron Eckhart played the role of Harvey Dent. Two-Face, brilliantly.
Loved him.
Matt Damon. He got offered the role, turned it down, and the only reason was because of scheduling conflicts, and it was because of the Bourne ultimatum.
See, that feels like a massive failure. That, like, I'm sorry, but, like, look, I know that the Bourne series has its fans.
It does. It did well. But to turn down a role in Christopher Nolan's Batman trilogy, which is going to be talked about for hundreds and hundreds of years in time, that's a letdown.
And look, here's the thing, though, right? I don't even necessarily think that Matt Damon would have turned it down, because he would have signed on for the Bourne series already at that point. He wouldn't have been able to do it.
Well, he was locked into a three-picture deal. However, the scheduling was actually – there was 90 days that he had free.
Yeah, right.
And that's
and
when he –
they weren't going to be able to smash out that movie in 90 days.
That's what happens. So that's why he had to turn it down. But that's a massive one there, because
– that's unfortunate timing for him.
It is. I would have liked to see it. But then again, Aaron Eckhart, he did a brilliant job.
This is the thing. And this is the hard thing when you talk about fan casting, when you talk about actors who turn down roles. Because to be honest with you – a lot of these movies that we're talking about, they're iconic.
They are.
There are very few exceptions here. Very few. I've got one.
Yep.
Maybe two that I would say, I wouldn't have minded seeing that. And one of them is that Cher, the queen of the universe.
What'd she turn down?
Morticia Adams in the Adams Family.
Oh, she would have nailed that.
And she would have been playing opposite Raul Julia, who played Bison
in Street Fighter.
She
looks like more, my God.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Would have been amazing. I would have loved to have seen it. Although the problem with Cher's facial structure is I just can't see her not smiling. Cher has this massive, radiant, cheekbone-featured smile about her, and I just don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I would have watched it, and I probably would have enjoyed it. Like, I love Cher.
I do as well.
Obviously, I love Cher.
Oh. Oh, here's one for you.
Tell me.
Black Widow.
Oh, I heard about this one.
The role was originally handed to Emily Blunt.
And you know what? She would have done a banging job.
She would have done a banging job. She is phenomenal in pretty much everything she does. Yeah, so when I see an Emily Blunt movie listed to come out in, say, 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, I'll take note of that, because I love her. I love her abilities to portray any task that she gets handed.
She's married to Krasinski, isn't she?
She is, old mate. He played in, he was part of the, he was in The Office,
and other things, but The Office, he's a spectacular Hollywood director, mate, now.
But just think, right, Emily Blunt turned down, that was in Iron Man 2. That was the first appearance.
I actually think that Emily Blunt is so underappreciated and underrated. Yeah. I think she's spectacular.
She is. I
think
agree.
She's stunning. I think she embodies every single character that she does.
Yep.
Like, you never have a moment where it's like, oh, that's Emily Blunt playing. Yeah. It's, oh, no, that's that character.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Is it The Silent Place?
Silent Place?
The one where they can't talk, the one that John Krasinski directed?
Oh, that was recent. I didn't see
it. Freaking amazing. Yeah, wow. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah. And, you know, for an actor to be able to do what she did in a movie where it's all about not talking.
Yeah, so that's...
Oh.
Yeah.
Give the woman an Oscar already.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Emily Blunt.
So, anyway, that is a huge turn down, though, because you've got Iron Man 2, then you had all the Avenger films, you had Iron Man 3, and then you had the actual Black Widow movie.
Yeah.
We're talking like 10 films she could potentially would have been part of.
I got one that wouldn't have worked.
Okay.
This one I'm so glad never happened. Thank God it happened the way it did, because Tom Hanks is an amazing actor.
Yep.
But Tom Hanks should never have been considered for the role of Jerry Maguire.
Oh, God, no.
It was offered to him. It was turned down. And I'm so grateful that it was. I don't see him in that comedic kind of role. Like,
I don't either.
You know, I think of Tom Hanks and I think of like Forrest Gump.
Castaway. Yeah. Toy Story.
National Treasure. The Da Vinci Code.
Oh, he was good in that.
Like Dr. Robert Langdon.
I loved that movie.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't like the other two.
Same.
But I loved...
Dante's Inferno was weird.
It was
just
weird.
It made no sense.
Yeah, man. It was.
But I mean,
weird.
I think that's more on Dan Brown, the writer of the book,
yeah,
than
true.
It is on Tom
the
Hanks.
The twist at the end was good, though, when the girl there came out and was like, I'm part of this. And you know,
yeah, maybe.
I don't remember who the actress was.
Like, look, I think Tom Hanks has done so well to choose the movies that he's jumped into.
Yeah.
And I think that was the right decision.
Yeah.
So,
well, Tom Cruise nailed that role.
He did, and I hate to admit it. I hate to admit that Tom Cruise can do anything right, but that role he did right.
I loved Tom. I'm a fan. I'm a fan.
You've got one over here.
Jesus.
No, look, I'm not going to begrudge the guy because you know what? Like, being that short must have been. No, look, he's made such a good living for himself. He's an icon. Tom Cruise, you are an icon. Yeah. You're eventually one day you'll become a Hollywood Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I prefer Stewie Griffin.
Jesus Christ. All right, you went there.
I've got one more, yeah, and I am actually going to tell you. No, I want to do this one last because I think this is going to blow up the first one that you told us that you thought was the biggest one. I think this is going to be booming.
I don't know, but we'll see.
All right.
All right.
Give me two more.
I've got two more here. I'm just going to skim through the first one. Hugh Jackman. He was actually offered the role of James Bond before Daniel Craig in the mid-2000s.
I would have paid dollars to see that.
The reason he didn't do it is because they didn't have a script ready. And prior to the Casino Royale, which was actually a reboot in the James Bond franchise, that was released in 2006, Pierce Brosnan was the previous Bond. And it's fair to say the last two of the Bond films that came out in 99 and 2002, they were very focused on unrealistic kind of things.
Was it GoldenEye that he was in with
GoldenEye
Halle Berry?
So GoldenEye was 95. Halle Berry was in Die Another Day, which was 2002.
That's the one that I liked the most.
But see, that one for me was the most unrealistic Bond movie.
Really?
Just some of the he paraglided with a parachute from a speed racer car kind of thing, and
so?
Ended up surfing on a door. There was anyway. The reason that Jackman looked at that and goes, "Okay, you don't have a script ready now. He didn't want to go in that direction. He wanted to do the serious Bond, similar to the Sean Connery way.
Yeah.
And he was also playing Wolverine,
obviously.
And he didn't want to get stuck into two. He didn't want to get locked down in two contracts because he felt like he would never get to play any other role. And it's a bloody good. It's a very smart decision that he made. Because
I actually think he's one of the smartest men in Hollywood.
Well, he would have had to sign at least a 5-picture deal with Bond, and he would have already had he would have already had probably 5 or 6 X-Men's. So all he would have been doing is Wolverine, Bond. We would have missed out on The Prestige. We would have missed out on The Greatest Showman. We would have missed out on all those, you know, amazing films throughout the 2000s to up till now. He wouldn't have been able to do it. So that one for me was a good one, and I'm going to finish off here. This would have worked for me, but I'm glad it didn't because I love Harrison Ford. I love Harrison Ford actor. But Tom Selleck was originally offered the role of Indiana Jones.
Oh.
Now, the reason that didn't eventuate – so the reason that Harrison wasn't already offered was because of obviously – George Lucas was attached to this film, along with Steven Spielberg and George Lucas. They were the two minds behind Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to typecast Harrison Ford. So George Lucas movie, it must be Harrison Ford, you know, because he's just done Star Wars with him. He did the
point.
American Graffiti. He was in all of George's main films.
Yeah.
And then so they didn't want to they wanted to go in another way.
The only
reason it didn't eventuate was because Tom Selleck was playing Magnum P.I. in that TV series throughout the 80s.
Wow.
He couldn't get out of his contract to do it. So they already had – they thought, though, that Tom Selleck was a sure thing. They thought it was going to eventuate. So they had the studio was ready. They had the green button. They bang, we're filming tomorrow. And Selleck couldn't get out of it. And they go, shh. The directors were like, oh, my God, we need someone last. We need someone.
And, of course, when you've worked with someone like George Lucas for so long, when George Lucas calls, you say, yes, sir.
Mate, Harrison didn't even read the script. He just got the phone call. Now, I've read this on...
I bet he wishes he read the script of The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, though.
Oh, that was shocking. But Can you think of anyone else though playing Indiana Jones?
No, maybe Sam Neill.
Yeah, you know he applied for James Bond as well. He screen tested. He'd done everything right.
I think he would
have been
great Bond.
At the last minute, they went in another direction.
I think he would have made a great Bond.
He would have. So you reckon you can top me from Sean Connery playing Gandalf?
I do.
What do you got?
Jim Carrey.
In?
The Truman Show. He was in The Truman Show.
He was in The Truman Show. So
it was the best movie he ever made. It was the most spectacular storytelling you've ever seen in your life.
Mm.
It was an absolute masterpiece in every single possible way.
Well, he did a lot of that on his own as well. Did. Similar to Tom Hanks in Castaway. Yeah. The reason those two movies are so iconic and is because the portrayal that these actors and the way they were able to create this and project it onto a camera.
Yep.
Well, he was talking to himself half the movie.
Yep.
Yeah, well, so what was, okay, what's the twist?
It was originally offered.
Yeah.
And as a result of this offer,
yes,
there were rumors for decades.
Yes.
Of a huge Hollywood rift between these two men.
I know where this is going.
And it was absolutely wrong.
Yep.
But it was originally offered to Robin Williams.
Wow. Are you happy that that happened?
I am very happy that it was Jim Carrey. Yeah. I'm so happy it was Jim Carrey. I love Robert Williams.
So do I.
We know how much I love Robin Williams. Yep. You know, Ask Arnie Luce last week was my little homage to Mrs. Doubtfire. Like, I think Robin Williams was phenomenal. Like, Patch was just one of the most beautiful movies.
Patch Adams.
Yeah, what a beautiful movie. Was. 1 hour photo. Holy crap, what a creep.
Yeah.
Like, that was just... spectacular actor, but I think The Truman Show
belonged
to Jim Carrey. I almost want to say that if you were writing The Truman Show without Jim Carrey in mind, what were you doing?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's definitely his role.
So to me, that is one of the biggest correct decisions made in Hollywood, where one actor was offered, another one took it up.
I'm going to give you one more quickly.
Quick, you
this go. One is, I'm so...
Just a quickie.
Will Smith, Neo, The Matrix. Blech. Thank the Lord. I think I said that last week as well, so I must really not like it.
Nah.
That was good, mate. That was fun.
That was a lot of fun. I think that we should do something similar to this again.
Okay.
There's so much, like, we had a list of like 40 or so different actors, and there's so much that we culled from it, so... great shout with
this
episode.
If you guys if you guys enjoyed tonight's episode, send us a thumbs up, give us some comments,
a like and a follow and a subscribe, and don't forget we are live and in living color on YouTube. I have been Loosh. This has been Lockie. That has been you. And while you're there, say hi to your mom for me.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. They stole it from us.